Brisbane Festival has unveiled an altogether fabulous 2018 program from September 8 to 29. Book now, brisbanefestival.com.au.
Hi everyone, it's Luke, Dobbo, Margo, and this afternoon on the show, the great Matty Rogers joining us. He got booted off Survivor last night. Up yours, Channel 10, I say.
Well, they didn't decide.
Whatever, you know.
The tribe has spoken, Luke.
And don't you just know that some absolute nuff-nuff nerd is going to win the thing now?
It's because he was a threat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only reason.
That's the problem with Survivor is if you're good, you get flicked off. Yeah. So you have to be mediocre to win the show.
He said he was blindsided too. He thought he was safe.
Then what sort of message is that to the kids, Dobbo, where you've got to be sort of mediocre to be successful on that show?
It's life.
Maybe
it's
we
life.
Should go on that show.
Look at the Prime Minister.
Are you suggesting, Dobbo, that for our Prime Minister,
I think a lot of prime ministers, a lot of politicians are mediocre.
So put ScoMo on there.
Yeah, it's done good.
You want to talk about duds, like just mediocre people rising through the ranks. Forget about Survivor. What about Bill Shorten? He's going to be our next prime minister. I mean, what sort of school life did he have? Oh, fair dinkum. He never got picked first at touch footy, did he? Down on the footy ovals?
Well, we don't know that.
You know it. You take one look at him, you know
just
it.
Just trying to play devil's advocate.
Anyway, Matty Rogers joins us, and we'll get into him about what's going on with regards to that. Strawberries, I mean, what's going on?
Four it's ridiculous.
Things. It is.
Terrorism at its best.
It absolutely is, Margo. We'll get into that. Also, Dobbo's got a meatloaf recipe and a great story about his granny, and he wants to share it with us.
Would you actually like to tell the story now, Dobbo, as though you didn't get to tell it earlier?
No, I'm happy.
Nah,
I'm happy.
It's funnier the way that it played out.
Dobbo's filthy because we sort of hijacked it a bit and he's not happy and seriously not happy.
Yeah.
Well, you're still upset by it, Dobbo, are we?
Yeah, I am.
It was hours ago.
he had a whoopee.
He got very uncomfortable off air. But why? Well, you'll find out. If you listen to this, it's the catch-up. It starts for you right now.
Yeah, guys, the strawberry saga continues, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, you've got a feel for these people.
I'd have thought, Dobbo, you know what this is? It's dead-set terrorism.
Yeah, at its worst.
If this was done by someone from overseas,
jail.
From a Middle Eastern country, we'd be going, this is terrorism at its worst. But this is just... this is just absolutely inflicting terror.
And everyone. And I feel so sad for the farmers. It's now seven strawberry farming brands have had to shut down their production and their operations and now having to poison all of their crops.
Well, I'd eat them if they want to give them away. Last weekend I bought strawberries for $1.50 a punnet, and I felt for every strawberry farmer. I know it's the end of the season.
How many times did you cut it open before you ate it, though?
No, mate, they just go into the juicer. Look, I mean, this is just isolated. I mean, I get why everybody's scared. But then there's another article today about a dog that ate strawberries on the coast, and they happened to have razor blades, in the strawberries. Now,
why was a dog eating strawberries?
Oh, well, dogs eat anything.
Are they allowed to eat strawberries?
My dogs eat eggs. I don't know if that's really the reason.
But I had a German Shepherd, and he would eat. He would eat it like we'd have. We'd throw him the stew. But he'd eat everything in there, but he'd just spit the peas out. and you're telling me you've got a dog here that's eating strawberries? I've never heard of a dog eating strawberries.
Well, what I don't understand is dogs will eat anything, and animals and pets will eat anything. We had a dog that ate an engagement ring once.
Oh.
It decided that was her ring, and we had to wait 2 days.
Did you have to sift through?
2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took us to sift through till it came back out. But
a sign, Dobbo, that...
Potentially.
I have a dog that...
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, Betty.
I have a dog that eats its own feces.
Okay, gross.
But, I mean, there's plenty of dogs out there and plenty of animals that have eaten things that they shouldn't have. I mean...
Oh, did I tell you the story? Like, I know a girl, Emily, and she was telling me a story where she bought some lingerie, some underpants, and she couldn't find it. And she'd only just bought it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just bought this bloody stuff. Like, she wore it once and she couldn't find it. And then a couple of days later, she sees a dog and she goes, "What's that hanging? Something hanging out of its ring." And she goes, and she pulled it, and it was her underpants. The dog had eaten the underpants and was in the process of
seriously.
Yes, and she was pulling it like a ribbon straight out of its clucker. Dogs eat anything.
I can't even imagine that.
I'm sure we've got a lot of people out there that have had animals, dogs,
swallow
cats,
something, yeah.
have eaten something of value and importance. I'd love to hear your calls. Let us know what has your pet eaten that has a significant importance? So I don't want to talk to the people.
Everyone blames the dog for eating their homework.
Yeah, the dog ate the homework. That old saying.
Sometimes they actually
do. I'm sure there were people who have had it happen. Give us a call. We'd love to hear your calls.
What did your pet eat? We'll chat to you next on The Rush Hour. Luke Dobbo and Margot Parker.
Come. Yeah, talking about when your dog or a pet eats something of value. This is off the back of a dog eating strawberries and consuming razor blades.
Well, they like to chew on shoes.
Yeah. They just eat anything.
I had a Jack Toys. Russell once, and I had this beautiful, beautiful woolen jumper, and I slammed it accidentally when I closed the car door, I left in the car, and there was only the smidgenest coming out the door. By the time the next morning came, I had half a sleeve left. It just pulled it and pulled it and pulled it and chewed it to the end.
So anyway, there was only a smidgenest left.
Ange from Rabina, what has your dog eaten?
Oh, my beautiful, God bless him, he's in the rainbow heaven, got into the walk-in robe many years ago, and I paid a lot of money for a pair of Louis Vuitton shoes.
Oh, no.
Oh, not the Louis Vuittons.
What are they worth, Margaret?
Mm-hmm. Oh, upwards. Five to 1,000.
No.
How much you pay for them?
Yeah, they were $800.
Yeah.
And he ate them.
No, he ate one.
Only one.
And I still have that one, and he's in rainbow heaven, but then the vet bill was $1,000.
Is that because you hit him with the other shoe?
Oh, no.
Poor bugger couldn't poo.
Well, it's leather or rubber or something.
He had a stiletto up his bum.
All right. Good on you, Ange.
Ange, okay, I like the fact thanks. That Ange, if everyone wants to spot Ange, she's the one waltzing around southeast Queensland with one Louis Vuitton shoe on. She's got, I've still got to get my money's worth. It's $400 worth.
Stephen's called through from Caboolture. What did your mate's dog eat?
It ate a number 10 socket from his toolkit.
How annoying.
Did it ever come out the socket?
Yeah, but about a day later, he had to, it passed it through it. But he got his socket back.
Yeah, he got his socket back. Oh, man. Was it a guy dog? He had nuts and bolts. That sort of dog. Thanks for your call, mate.
Lee from Shaler Park. Are these your dogs, mate? What happened?
A best mate's dog. Eight snags off the side of the Barbie before they were cooked. But, packaging.
The whole lot.
Mm. Yeah, the whole lot.
Is he still with us?
Bag. Yeah, she's not. Yeah. The grey plastic bag was, you know, as you say, with the undies hanging out of his clacker a couple of days later.
Did he have the plastic bag coming out of his clacker? I tell you what, mate.
My mate and I were sitting there beside the pool, and I said, mate, what is that coming out of Delphi's butt? And we just both just lost it, knew exactly where the snags went.
And that won't kill you, by the way. Like, a lot of those cheaper snags that they sell at the big supermarkets for, like, you get, like, 28 sausages for $4. Mm. The packaging is the healthiest part of the sausage.
Yes.
Thanks for your call, brother. Well, it's an absolute outrage, and quite frankly, Channel 10 should be absolutely ashamed of themselves because last night on Survivor, our mate, Matty Rogers, kicked off, and quite frankly, the show can go and shove it up their jumbie right now. We're not interested anymore.
Don't be like that.
No,
we're completely off it now. Yeah,
we were right behind you, Matty, and dead set, we thought, A, you were way too big of a target. Yeah, but B, we thought you, they just had to get rid of you because you were obviously, the person that was going to win unless they voted you off. And that's pretty much what happened.
Yeah, I thought we could manage it, though, because I had a really strong alliance with Sian, Shane and Steve. But Sian sort of had a foot in both camps and she got some info and she didn't feed it on to me. So,
bitch.
If she
bloody
did.
Women manipulative things we are.
I don't hold her against her, though, because, I mean, she's just trying to win the game. That's it gets to a point when if it had got down to the four of us, I wasn't taking Sian to the final two, I can tell you that. Okay.
How much weight all up did you lose while you were on the island?
Well, I lost, I went in there at 86 kilo and came out at 73, so 13 kilos. So I was skin and bones when I came out. But
Dobbo wants to know where he signs up.
Yeah, me too, Dobbo.
I
want to
go
with
on
you.
Survivor now.
Yeah, well, mate, I tell you, it's well, you know what? People have asked, was it hard? And I'm like, the emotional side was hard. They want the game to be as real as what you see. And I got to tell you, like, there's very little, if any, production on it. Like, it's pretty raw. You've You're not getting fed. I mean, I had friends go, mate, surely they had a couch for you to sit on or a bed to rest in. And, mate, it's not. You're sleeping on the ground. You're eating what they give you. You got 800 calories a day. And
that's it.
I got to a point in the game where, you know, because I was losing so much weight. And you sort of they weigh you every like week or so just to make sure everything's okay. And they said, like, you got to eat more food. And I'm like, well, can you give me more? They're like, no, you got to negotiate with your tribe to get more food. I'm like, I'm not taking more food off people. Like, that's just a number one sort of you're out sort of thing. So.
The thing that would frustrate me the most is I don't deal very well with other people's incompetency. And when you're working in a
team. She's learning too.
These two are teaching me great patience. But when you're working in a team environment like that where you're relatively an alpha male as a champion and there's some others in there that, you know, aren't as got the brute sheer force and the physicality, do you find that frustrating? Because that would frustrate me.
There's certainly frustrations. I mean, there's no question. But, you know, in the beginning, it's a team game. Like, you have to win to stay away from tribal council. So you just got to make the best of it. Mm. And, you know, I mean, in the beginning, I voted for Jackie and Shane in the first two tribal councils we went to because they were the ones sort of holding us back a little bit in the challenges.
Yeah.
But
because as a viewer, you get frustrated. I'm like, put the puzzle piece there. What are you doing, you idiot?
Tell me about it. I that's what cost me in the last immunity challenge. Puzzle, freaking puzzles.
Yeah, give us a physical thing. Oh, don't let Matty have to rely on his brain power for crying out loud. They found your kryptonite.
But yeah, I mean that's a challenge. But the thing is, if the weaker players will band together. You know, so if you try to dominate them with strength and you and like and if you watch the show,
yeah.
You know, you look what happened to Zach in the contenders tribe. Yeah. He was this big, strong.
All the nerds get together and all of a sudden they're Superman.
Yeah. They use their smarts to outsmart you.
And you know, I mean, Zach, he just probably told them too much that they weren't any good, so they voted him out.
And Matty, mate, you're back into it. Like, you put all the weight on that you lost, and you're doing a great thing. Just rode a pushy, by the way, from Newcastle to the Gold Coast last week or the week before. And back ready, rock and roll. Got a marathon coming up and still raising good dough, mate, for 4 ASD kids.
Yeah, we're doing plenty. And, you know, that's sort of our life. And, you know, I was really grateful for the show Survivor to give, you know, for, you know, what we're doing outside of the show a good run and give people an opportunity to sort of plug into what we're doing.
Because you went to Germany too with the Maxing Out Challenge. Yeah. How
so
was
we
that?
Had a the show. We just shot a documentary. It's actually going to air on Channel 10 later this year.
They're still waiting for my brother to finish the Ironman. And as soon as Ashley finishes the Ironman.
I tell you what, we're going to make a star out of him. He was amazing. And you wait till you see this documentary. And it was really to depict a journey from struggle to triumph, like our journey was with Max.
Yeah, right.
And it certainly was a struggle for Ash. So, but you'll see the triumph, which was really cool.
Can't wait.
The guy joining us right now, he was kicked off Survivor last night.
The great Matty Rogers, one of Gold Coast's finest. And, booted off Survivor. But given now that, you know, you're off the TV, off Survivor, it'd be good to get your thoughts on this controversy that has been dogging a rugby union this week.
And we were talking about it yesterday. You're a Gold Coaster. Who's in the right there, the fan or the player?
Oh, mate.
Both, probably.
Yeah.
To a degree.
Can I tell you, like, at some point, you know, as an athlete, you're always like, oh, you got to turn the other cheek and you got to, I mean, I'll tell you, there's a lot of pride, right?
Yeah.
You got a lot of pride. They're trying their best. I played for the Wallabies and we didn't have a great record at times when I played for them, but it didn't mean I wasn't trying hard.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like, Corey would have gone through the same thing. You know, things aren't going well. Like, every time these guys step on the field, they're giving it everything and things aren't going well for them at the moment. Something's got to change. Something's got to happen.
And they're fully aware of that.
Yeah, but to have someone in your face and yelling and screaming and your family there and your little sister gets pushed over and, you know, whatever. Mm. Man, I don't know how I would have handled myself in that situation. And, you know, there comes a point where, you know, you'd understand people are human. And you can't, I mean, if you're constantly getting in someone's face or, you know, what gives someone the right just to get in someone's face and abuse them?
Yeah, right.
Mm. You know, at what point is that?
Can you remember any cutting comment that was given to you in your playing careers that actually stuck with you and bit so much that you remember it all these years later?
I do. I can't actually say it. It was that bad.
Go on.
I can't.
You really?
It was that bad, you know, and I'm just like, you know, stuff about my dad and stuff.
Oh, really?
You know, things like that. And I just think, what gives someone the right to do that? And it's almost like, you know, I've talked about this before. You know, I think what's happened in all our codes is the administration is so worried about the corporate dollar that come into the game, that feeds the game, that they've stifled the personalities in the game, and they forget that they're those personalities, those guys that sail on the edge, close to the edge, be it on the field or off the field, they're the ones you want to be playing with. Mm. You can't have a team of them.
They're the ones that bring the people in.
But the Gordon Talises, the Gordies, the Wendell Sailors,
the Coopers.
Yeah.
These guys that just, mate, they're the Greg Birds, the guys you want on your side.
Yeah, right.
They're the guys you want next year. And they're the ones that almost, like, as much as they're hard to deal with a little bit, they also, that they endear themselves to the public. The public love them.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. I mean? If you had a team full of Boyd Cordners, how empty would the stands be?
Yeah. Yeah. Mate, you need the personalities. You need that. And that's the struggle. I feel like that's what it's like on the Gold Coast at the moment. They've been so, because they've had some issues, they've been so worried about the way that they're seen in the media or they're depicted or the way that the sponsors look at them, that they forgot that winning is the main thing.
Yeah, right.
You got to win games of footy. And when you're winning games of footy, you know, problems seem to go away.
But
when you're not, the littlest thing becomes a mountain.
Yeah, right.
And you got to endear yourself to your fans. Your fans are your blue-collar workers that are pulling their money out of their pocket, putting it on the table and saying, I'm coming to watch you.
Yeah.
And if you're not endearing yourself to them, surrounding yourself with high-net-worth individuals and making yourself separate from your blue-collar worker.
Yep.
Is not endearing
and,
to the
and
fans.
As Aussies, you're right. You look at our cricketers. Who do we love? Warnie. The guy's a little bit rough around the edges, but they're bloody good.
But he gets forgiven every time he makes a sin because he's... Yeah.
He's just a good fella. He's a man of the people.
Hey, Matty, mate, we're proud of what you did on Survivor, and you are an absolute champion, mate. And thanks for joining us this Arvo.
Good on you, guys. Thanks for having me. Loved it.
The Rush Hour on Gold 92.5 as you head home for a Tuesday. Luke Dobbo and Margo here today.
Yeah, look, there's plenty of things that families fight over, and one thing I wouldn't have thought was a recipe that's been in our family for over 60 years. My grandfather, before he passed away, made the most amazing meatloaf, and it had this special sauce,
a glaze.
Well, you'll have to come to dinner.
Make me some, Dobbo.
Meatloaf! Nice call, Benny.
Thank you.
Nice call.
Anyway. When he passed away, in his will, he gave the recipe to my nana.
Hang on, okay. The recipe for what?
The glaze. Like, the meatloaf was all right, but he has this... And then he took the words right out of my mouth.
One must have been while you were... Sorry, mate, go on. Took the food right...
Poor Dobbo. Keep going, Dobbo. No.
Anyway,
I'm listening.
So when my grandmother got the recipe, we had meatloaf once a month.
Well, why is everyone waiting?
I dare
come
you.
On, Benny.
Anyway. No.
That's a good story, mate. Come on, keep going.
Keep going.
Hey, so you like... So grandpa made a good meatloaf, eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it was good.
Pick it up. We gave it to Granny when he passed on.
Yeah, and anyway, so when I'm scared to say the word now.
What word?
Meatloaf. We're done.
It's a good story. It's a good one. May he rest in peace, eh?
That's about right.
Hey, rest in peace.
There's no story. The story's gone. It's done. We're moving on.
Good story.
I cooked meatloaf last night. That was about it.
How was it?
Beautiful, mate. Beautiful. Well, Grandpa lives on, doesn't he?
Yeah.
With great stories like that. Good on you, Dobbo.
I want to hear Dobbo's story.
You just heard it. Grandpa made a meatloaf, put the glaze on it.
Let's move on. We're done.
Oh, Dobbo.
Now we have to move on because that's all the meatloaf songs.
Brisbane Festival has unveiled an altogether fabulous 2018 program from September 8 to 29. Book now, brisbanefestival.com.au.